James Horner composed more than 100 film scores before his death in a plane crash a little more than a year ago. His two final works come out tomorrow. One is his score for the remake of The Magnificent Seven. The other is a concert work being released on CD. Tim Grieving reports that it's a bittersweet occasion for those who knew the composer.
James Horner's score for Titanic is one of the best-selling orchestral soundtracks of all time. He won an Oscar for that score, and another for Celine Dion's song My Heart Will Go On. His career, as you might imagine, began much more modestly, scoring pulpy B-movies for Roger Corman, including Humanoids from the Deep.
He took all of the money he made on Humanoids from the Deep and then dumped it into the next score. He didn't take any money out.
Sarah Horner, an artist and landscape architect, met James when they were both students at UCLA.
He used it to make the music as good as he could and lived off the money he made as a TA at UCLA. We just lived on nothing. Nothing.
Back then, one of her late husband's colleagues at Roger Corman's New World Pictures was a young model builder named James Cameron.
He was a sensitive guy. He had a huge heart. And I think the depth of his emotion and his sensitivity is what gave him a lot of his musical talent. I mean, sure, he was classically trained and he was a pianist and all that. But I think it was that he himself was a very emotional person.
Cameron's and Horner's careers took off, and the composer earned his first Oscar nomination for his score to Cameron's movie Aliens. Horner went on to score such hits as Glory, Apollo 13, Braveheart, and Avatar. Horner had already begun work on the score for the Magnificent Seven remake, just based on the script, when he died flying a small plane on June 22nd of last year. Horner's longtime arranger and score producer, Simon Franklin, took the themes Horner had written, worked up an orchestral suite, presented it to Magnificent Seven director Antoine Fuqua,
and said this was the score as James would have liked it to have sounded. You know, he was crying when he was listening, obviously. He then said, well, I want you to finish this. I want you to take this forward, which was a really gutsy call for a $100 million movie.
Franklin and the rest of the composer's team got together and used those themes to craft a score in the most James Horner-like way they could. It really was unusual for director Antoine Fuqua to accept Horner's unfinished score, because, Simon Franklin says, the business of film music has changed. Franklin says Horner was increasingly being asked to emulate music that directors had already used to edit their films. Towards the end of his career, Horner had two scores thrown out and replaced.
James understood where the soul in a film was, better than almost anybody I've come across. That sense of melody is something that I want to hold on to. I think often it's now become almost just this background noise, and it might as well be a sound effect.
Partly out of frustration, Horner returned to his first love, the concert hall. In 2014, he wrote a concerto for violin, cello, and orchestra, followed by another concerto for four French horns and orchestra. The horn concerto, titled Collage, got its world premiere in London, 3 months before James Horner died. The response was, in many ways, the story of Horner's life.
The music critics actually really panned the piece. You know, oh, this sounds like Titanic. Oh, it's, you know, that type of stuff.
James Thatcher, a veteran on the Hollywood scoring stages and the composer's principal horn player since 1985.
But the audience loved it, and he came out for three bows. James was never ashamed of what he wrote. He stayed true to himself, and that's why the audiences love it.
Thatcher says Horner supervised the recording just weeks before his fatal crash, and its release on disc, the same day The Magnificent Seven opens, will likely be the last new music by James Horner we'll ever hear. But his widow Sarah says what we hear in all of his music was his true voice.
He could write music that expressed something inside of him that in everyday real life it was very difficult for him to communicate. And I think that part of it, the emotional connection that he had with his audience, was for him the whole point of it.
For NPR News, I'm Tim Grieving in Los Angeles.